Coming up on Encouragement Live, did you know we are living in a moral and spiritual eclipse of God today? Pastor and author Dr. Erwin Lutzer has written a book on the subject, and he joins us with biblical light to counter the darkness on Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's great to have you with us as live from studios located on the campus of First Christian Church of Wiley, Texas, Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission as a radio program is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight. And if ever there were a day when biblically based encouragement and insight is needed, it's the dark day in which we're living. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is back with me tonight. He is the senior pastor emeritus of the historic Moody Church in Chicago, where he served as pastor for 36 years. He's an author, a conference speaker. His book includes the one we're discussing this evening, The Eclipse of God, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity and What We Must Do About It. He's also written Pandemics, Plagues, and Natural Disasters, What God Is Saying to Us, Failure, the Back Door to Success, and covering your life in prayer. Erwin, it's always great to have you with us on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you today, Don, and I hope that all who have tuned in will stay with us. We're going to cover many subjects, but we also want to look at this through the eyes of Scripture, of course, and give people the kind of encouragement that God has called us to give them.
No question about it. And if you have a question or a comment tonight, the toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. That's 855-586-5433. Now, Erwin, your title, The Eclipse of God, suggests a metaphor from the world of science, one that reflects on our culture today. Talk about that.
Well, you know, when there's an eclipse, and we've experienced eclipses recently, I think we had one in April. When there's an eclipse, the sun is unaffected, but the earth is affected because the moon comes in between the sun and the earth. And there is an eclipse of God in America, definitely. God is hidden. It doesn't change God, most assuredly. But darkness settles over the land. As a matter of fact, there's a reference to it not directly as an eclipse, but the truth of it in Isaiah 59, where God says, "Your sin has caused me to hide my face from you, and when you call to me, I will not hear." That's what I call the eclipse. And the amazing thing that I want to emphasize right out of the gate, Don, is this, that the moon, of course, is 400 times smaller than the sun.
Yes.
And yet at the same time, it looks as big as the sun to us when we look at it in the sky. And the reason is, even though it's 400 times smaller, it is also 400 times closer. My point is this. Secularism, the dark night of secularism, is descending upon us. And it appears to be as big as God, but of course it isn't. God is still God. He's unaffected. And the reason that I wrote the book, The Eclipse of God, is to help people to understand the darkness, but also as the sub and the darkness and that we'll talk about, the way in which God is redefined today, but also to give people hope to live beyond the culture, to see that we are still worshiping a God who is totally unaffected and is still God, a very God.
Very important for us to keep in mind. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. That's 855-586-5433. John 1:5 says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." But we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Erwin Lutzer about this book, The Eclipse of God, right after these messages. At the 2024 Legacy Leaders Summit, you'll hear from Christian leaders as Dallas Theological Seminary celebrates a century of teaching truth and loving well. The Legacy Leaders Summit this September 12th and 13th features messages from Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutzer, plus panel discussions, worship, and more. You may register at dts.edu/legacyleader. That's dts.edu/legacyleader. Following the brutal, horrific Hamas attack on Israel, Israeli soldiers fighting ruthless terrorists and Israeli children need help for emotional trauma.
In Hebrew, the number 18 symbolizes life, hope, and blessing. The Master Life Coach Training Institute, along with Compedia and the SEAL Future Foundation, extend this lifeline to Israeli military and their families.
Stand with Israel by donating as little as $18 at blessil.org to counter trauma. That's blessil.org. Tonight on Encouragement Live, a very important topic given the condition of our culture today. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has written a brand new book that's coming out in September titled The Eclipse of God, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity and What We Must Do About It. And that's certainly one of the emphases tonight, steps that we need to take. Erwin, it seems to me that one of the very important points that you make in this book is that God has been redefined as being somewhat more tolerant than he used to be.
Oh, yes. You know, Don, one of the reasons I was motivated to write this book is that a couple of years ago, The Economist had an article in which it says, God is becoming more liberal. He's becoming as liberal as we are. After all, the Church of England apparently is approving of same-sex relationships. And it says nobody believes in the Smitey Almighty, the God who smote the Egyptians, the God who smote Sodom and Gomorrah. Nobody believes in that God. God is more tolerant. As a matter of fact, on the online edition, the title was Nearer My God to Me. And what the article said is rather than praying, Lord, may thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we can reverse that and say, may thy will be done in heaven as it is done on earth. So the point is this, Americans don't mind believing or saying that they believe in God, just as long as he is the God that they would like to believe in, the God of their consciousness. That's the God that they want to believe in. And so we have redefined God. As a matter of fact, a chapter in the book that we're talking about, The Eclipse of God, I have a chapter on the whole issue of how God is redefined. And it has to do with spirituality, where you can be spiritual, but you don't have to be religious. You don't need any specific doctrines. And so we have a God who's very tolerant.
But Don,
I prove it historically. There are two doctrines that destroy the church. One is the essential goodness of man, and the other is the endless tolerance of a non-judgmental God.
So if God is non-judgmental and man is inherently good, no wonder our world is in the mess it's in right now. No question about it. I remember years ago, the president of Southeastern Bible College, when I was a student there, and that's been a lot of years ago, Erwin, Dr. Alden Gannett used to define the status quo as the mess we're in. And there's no question that we're in a mess right now. We are coming up on a break. And, friend, if you'd like to give us a call, you have a comment, a question, 855-586-5433. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is with me on the broadcast this evening. And a very important subject, his book, The Eclipse of God, will be coming out in September. I would encourage you to make a note of this. It will be available on Amazon.com, as his other books are available as well. And again, our toll-free number, 855-586-5433. All of our programs are archived on the website, encouragementlive.org, if you'd like to check this one out later, or if you'd like to check the rebroadcast on the worshipschannel.org. That'll be at 9 p.m. tomorrow evening Central Time. We'll be right back. Following the brutal and horrific Hamas attack on Israel, Israeli soldiers who have been fighting for months against ruthless terrorists in Gaza and children all over Israel suffer from significant emotional trauma and insecurity. They need help. They need the skills and tools to heal from their trauma-based fears and anxieties.
In Hebrew, the number 18 symbolizes life. It's Chai, a word that echoes hope and blessing. The Master Life Coach Training Institute, along with Compedia and the SEAL Future Foundation, extend this lifeline to Israeli military and their families, offering trauma assistance during these challenging times.
You can stand with Israel by donating as little as $18 at blessil.org. That's blessil.org, providing crucial training and support to counter trauma.
Donate now. Be a blessing.
Sat 7 is Satellite Christian Television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat 7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in the people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's S-A-T, the number 7, USA.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. Good to have you with us tonight on Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is with me this evening. And Erwin, you are lined up to speak with a couple of other well-known Bible teachers at an event at Dallas Theological Seminary called the Legacy Leaders Summit. That's coming up September 12th and 13th. You, Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, quite a lineup of Bible teachers for that event.
Yes, and my topic on Thursday, the 12th of September, my topic is going to be directly from the book that we're talking about, entitled The Eclipse of God. And one of the chapters in my book is entitled Truth or Truthiness, Telling the Truth in an Age of Lies. And Don, the reason that I wrote that chapter and the reason I'm preaching that message is because there are so many people who say, you know, I sent my son to college, and when he comes back, the kids today think differently than we do. Well, they sure do. Why? Because truth has moved from something objective to something subjective. It has to do with the way in which I feel.
Yes.
So that's the reason why I'm going to be speaking on that. We encourage all people to come. And by the way, I just want to make one correction regarding the book, The Eclipse of God. It indeed is on Amazon, and it, of course it can be pre-ordered. I mention that so that people know, or they can even go to christianbook.com, christianbook.com, and they can pre-order a copy. It's coming out early in September.
Yeah. Now, christianbooksplural.com, is that correct?
No, it's christianbook.com.
Singular, okay. Want to be sure.
Plural.
Yeah. I wanted to be sure about that because I have one guest who has had books on Christian books, plural, but yours is Christian books, singular. By the way, if you'd like to find out more about the Legacy Leaders Summit, you'll be able to hear this very important message from Dr. Erwin Lutzer, as well as Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah. There'll be panel discussions, worship, and more. Go to dts.edu/legacyleader. That's dts.edu/legacyleader. And as Dr. Lutzer said, you can pre-order his book, this very important book, The Eclipse of God, at Amazon.com or at christianbook.com. Erwin, as I recall, you had three reasons for writing this book, and they were tied into a number of divisions of what we might call the radical secularism of our day.
The first reason is so that we might understand the intellectual roots of the darkness, and I want to comment on that. What I do there is Nietzsche was a philosopher who died in the year 1900 in Germany, in Weimar, and he proclaimed the death of God.
Yes.
He said, "Do we not hear the noise of the grave diggers?" So what I do is I show that there are three grave diggers. He doesn't tell us who he had in mind, but these would be the most logical ones. Number one, Karl Marx.
Yes.
Who attacked God as ruler. Number two, very critically, Darwin, who attacked God as creator. And third, Freud, who attacked God as lawgiver. I want to just comment, I don't know how much time we have to unpack these three, but let me say a word about Darwin.
Okay.
Darwin came up with the idea that we came up through the animal world. As a matter of fact, I have a quote in the book where he says that the baboon is our grandfather. Now, I want everyone who is listening to think about this. If the baboon is our grandfather, if we came up through the animal world, we are only animals a little bit more intelligent, a little bit more along the continuum, but we are just animals. If that's the case, we have no argument against abortion, no argument against infanticide or euthanasia, because we do euthanasia with animals. You know, an animal gets sick and
sure.
and there's very little hope for recovery. The animal is put to sleep, as we say.
Yes.
Well, why not do that with human beings? The only reason why there is such a thing as human rights and universal human rights is because we are created in the image of God. We are different not just in degree, but we are actually different in kind. And so Darwin, a secular writer said, was the universal acid that destroyed Christianity, because now you didn't need a God to create and you didn't need a God for human rights because, you know, we came up through the animal world.
Hey.
Now, while I'm on the topic, I also have another chapter in the book later on the topic of law and human rights. And I show that unless you believe in creation, there can be no human rights. And, you know, the statement in the Declaration, we believe that all men were created equal and were endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights.
Yes.
I always knew how significant that was. But recently I was in Germany. I was in Nuremberg where the trials were held. I was in the very courtroom where the German people, the evil people, were tried. And never before have I understood with such clarity why that is so important. And the reason is because the Germans were arguing we didn't break any laws. We were consistent with the laws of Germany. Hitler had declared that killing Jews was not illegal. So the question was, on what do we base law? And as I point out in my book, Robert Jackson, an attorney, showed this, that there is a transcendent law that applies to everyone. He argued for human rights. And the only way you can do that is if you believe in creation and the biblical account.
And of course, these days, higher education is doing everything it can to undermine the biblical account of creation and certainly following along the path of Darwin. And you talked about Karl Marx, and in reality, to some degree, all of the secularism, the radical secularism of our day, as you point out, really grows to a great degree out of what Karl Marx put forth.
Exactly. Marx looked around and he saw oppression. He said that if you stop oppressing human beings, they are just going to turn into such nice people, we won't even need any laws. Isn't that ever a nice idea? So get rid of the oppression. But in order to get rid of it, what you have to do is you have to destroy belief in God, because you see, and the family absolutely had to be destroyed. Because in Marx's view, the family was a unit of oppression. Men oppressed their wives. parents oppressed their children. They took them to God, to church. God is the ultimate oppressor. So obviously God has to be destroyed. The family has to be destroyed. Everybody has to be equal. He believed in open borders, which meant that everyone became a citizen of the world. And so everyone was supposed to live happily. But of course, we know that wasn't so. We know some of the evils that communism has brought about, far worse than we can even discuss tonight. And the point to be made is, as America increasingly grows towards socialism, a form of cultural Marxism.
Yes.
The cultural Marxists say that we have to make America Marxist, but we're going to do it incrementally, so we don't need a revolution, so that people see its beauty. Well, where does that lead? And then we've talked about Darwin. Freud, he believed in the pleasure principle, and the highest pleasure was sexuality. So to him, all prohibitions regarding sex, especially as found in the scriptures, have to be destroyed. And when you have sexual freedom, everyone is going to live in happiness.
And he
that doesn't work out.
Not at all. In fact, he even included not only a lot of the sexual perversion that we're seeing dominating our society today, he would even go so far as to say pedophilia and that kind of thing, correct?
Yeah. He opened the door for that. Now here's the thing. A few moments ago, I mentioned Nietzsche, who said that God was dead.
Yes.
Nietzsche actually had, in one of his books, someone go through the cathedrals of Europe and proclaim that they are tombs of God.
Hmm.
Now, remember, this was in the late 1800s. Go to Europe today. If you go to Bedford, England, where Bunyan was, that cathedral is now a nightclub.
Mm.
The cathedrals throughout Europe, many of them are restaurants, libraries, many of them are mosques. And what Nietzsche predicted came to pass. Now, I want everyone who's listening to ask this question to themselves. Maybe they already have. Where was the church? Why was the church not able to withstand these hammer blows? And in my book, I discuss various things, but a couple of things very quickly. Number one, the church had already been weakened because the core of Christianity had been cut out. Now, isn't this interesting? We must realize that ideas have consequences and bad ideas have victims.
Yes.
There was a Christian teacher, a philosopher, a theologian called Schleiermacher. You know for sure with a name like that he's German.
I remember studying about him. Yeah, one of the rascals.
He defined religion as a feeling of absolute dependence. Now, everyone should take a deep breath and ask, what does that mean? Think of what that means for us today. Whereas I already mentioned earlier on this program, what you have is truth being moved from objectivity to subjectivity. If you ask the question, why did the LGBTQ plus make so many gains, it would be because of compassion, because of feeling. To be compassionate is very good, but compassion for the wrong thing can also lead us down the wrong path. So today, the whole emphasis is on how do I feel? What is my truth? What is your truth? And so truth has lost its objectivity. So to go back to Dallas Seminary that you just advertised on your program.
Yes.
On the 12th of September, I'm going to be speaking on this topic, Truth or Truthiness, and the subtitle is Telling the Truth in a World of Lies. And I'm going to give five characteristics of truth to help us to think through what truth really is. But the point to be made, and this goes back to your original question, the darkness of Europe came here. And, of course, that's the intellectual roots, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. The second reason is because I wanted to emphasize the sovereignty of God. You know, we're living at a time of great political unrest, and your program is called Encouragement Live. So
yes.
I want to give people some encouragement.
We're going
when
to get
you
to
think of Isaiah.
Yeah, let me hold that thought and let's get to that encouragement right after the break. We're coming up on a firm break. The toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Back with Dr. Erwin Lutzer after this.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
And I know a number of you have been trying to call in. You have questions or comments, and for some reason we are having major problems with our telephone system tonight. Thankfully, Dr. Erwin Lutzer is on the line with me. But for those of you who've been trying to dial in, and my telephone team tells me there are a number of you, we are working to get that straightened out. Want to mention also the Legacy Leaders Summit. Dr. Lutzer mentioned that as we were going to the break, that he is going to be speaking on the whole issue of truth, a very powerful message on September the 12th. And then Dr. Chuck Swindoll, Dr. David Jeremiah will be speaking on the 13th. There will also be panel discussions, worship, and much more. You can find out more about this event and sign up at dts.edu/legacyleader. That's dts.edu/legacyleader. And Erwin, you have shared with us a lot of very significant content about the cultural decline, the eclipse of God, the redefining of God, and where it came from in Europe and how it's come to this country. But I know you have some encouragement for us tonight in keeping with our title, Encouragement Live, specifically encouragement to the church to take a stand on some of these things.
Yes, and you know, the context in which I'm giving this is, you had asked me before the break the three purposes of the book.
Yes.
The Eclipse of God. I mentioned the intellectual roots and the darkness. But secondly, to encourage believers to remember that God is sovereign. You know, in Isaiah chapter 6, that very familiar passage of Scripture, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Isn't that significant?
Yes.
Uzziah was a king who reigned, I think, for 52 years. He was a good king. He ended somewhat badly, but he was a good king. And now the throne of Israel was empty. What was God saying to the prophet? God was saying this: the throne on earth may be empty, but the throne in heaven is well occupied.
Mm.
And, you know, we look about us and we see all the political unrest. We see racial unrest. We look at the internet with all of the accusations and counter accusations. Everyone seems to be angry about something. People are being vilified, sometimes, you know, very untruthfully, that is to say, deliberately.
Yes.
And it's a very time of great transformation. This is not the America that you and I knew even 20 years ago.
Oh, yes.
But the point is this: the throne in heaven is well occupied. It says in the Psalms that God has established his throne. Well, who established it? Well, God has established his own throne.
Hmm.
So what I encourage people to do is look beyond the headlines. We are being bombarded with headlines these days, particularly in this election year. Look beyond them and recognize that God is still God, that even in the eclipse of God, God still remains God. He still is faithful to his people. His promises can be believed. And I would say that one of the greatest challenges is for all of us to live with eternal values in a very fleeting world.
Mm.
So everyone out there, ask yourself this question: what does faithfulness look like to me? And everyone is going to answer that question differently. A housewife is going to answer that differently than perhaps a businessman who's in a certain situation. But ask yourself that question. And then make sure that before you go to your phone in the morning, go to the Bible first, focus on God, commit your way to the Lord, seek him for wisdom, seek him for guidance, trust him, and just know that no matter how bad the storm is, God is there. As a matter of fact, there's something that comes to mind, Don, that I have to tell people.
Okay.
When I was in Germany recently leading a tour, I told the people about Dietrich Bonhoeffer just before Hitler became the chancellor and so forth, but Germany was in turmoil. I mean, there were riots, there were food shortages, and Bonhoeffer preached a message about Jesus being in the boat, Mark chapter 4, and he said that when Jesus got into the boat, and Jesus was in the boat in that story, sleeping, Jesus was with them in the boat, and what you and I need to do is to recognize that in our storm, if you're a believer, Jesus is in your boat.
Oh, yes.
And so be encouraged and just know that people have been through storms before and God has been there for them.
What powerful encouragement from Dr. Erwin Lutzer tonight. Again, as we mentioned, we're having some technical difficulties with the phones, and we're not going to worry about that because we have so much to unpack from this book. If we are able to get the phone lines up and working, we will do that. But that subject, Erwin, brings up something that you make as a very important point, and it goes right along with the fact that Jesus was in the boat. But there was also a storm on the outside of the boat. And one of the points that you make is that this issue is not a political war. It's not just a culture war. That undergirding all of this is a spiritual war that goes all the way back to Satan's original rebellion against God.
And, you know, we're living at a time of irrationality. And so one of the things I do in the book is to argue that we can't think that we can win this war just by having superior ideas. People are being told, in effect, that 2 + 2 = 5. Men can have babies. And, you know, the West is evil and other countries are better than America, which isn't true at all, by the way. If you've ever traveled to Albania, where I was recently on a preaching tour, or other countries, you soon learn the uniqueness of America. But all that we do is complain.
Mm.
And the point to be made is this, that God has led us to this moment, and he's going to see us through this moment. And what we need to do is to realize that we have an agenda, but we have to call on God. Only God can rescue us. I'm thinking of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where he says, as the armies were coming, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
Love that passage, yes.
The third point in my book, yeah, and that is this, that only a humble, repentant church is able to stand against the darkness. The darkness is so overwhelming. You know, I've written about how propaganda works, and I have done that because I'm very interested in how cultural streams work. The cultural streams are pounding against us. And we recognize that there are changes being made with long-term implications. And what we need to do is to stand against the culture, but we have to stand on our knees, so to speak, in repentance and faith before God, because this is a spiritual battle. Behind all of it, as Paul says, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so, in a sense, I also want my book to be a call to prayer, a call to repentance. And every chapter of the book, The Eclipse of God, that we're talking about, every chapter ends with a declaration of dependence and an action step.
Yes.
What do I do in light of what this chapter has to say?
And it seems to me those two specifics at the end of each chapter, as I've been reading the book, I felt like you really nail those, the issue of dependence. You sort of bring the lesson of the chapter home, and then you include the action step. And a lot of those action steps, as you've mentioned, are steps that we take on our knees. But some of those involve steps of shining as lights in the darkness. I think about the words that Jesus shared in the gospel, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We, to a great degree, as a church, have not accomplished that purpose. And you point out in the book that that's one of the reasons why in this country, as well as in Europe, the darkness has become so rampant.
And, you know, I don't write my books necessarily on how to reclaim the culture, but how to reclaim the church.
Yes.
And we as a church need to walk that fine line between truth and love, of course. But it is best to tell the truth, even if you're considered to be a hater, than it is to tell a lie with sweet, caring tones.
Well put.
And points that I make in terms of action steps is this. Let's talk about the whole gender-affirming care that we have in our society today. Children are being destroyed.
Yes.
Young people are confused. We have to also, in addition to standing against this darkness, we have to be a safety net for people, because there are many who are going to be going through and already are going through deep regret, deep hurt. They've been told a lie, and they're living with the consequences of that lie. And it's wonderful when Christians come along with the culture, that is to walk along with people who are broken, to point them to Christ, to love them, to give them a sense of hope, a sense of dignity, because we are not only a broken culture, but we have a culture that wants to break us. That is to say, a break us in the worst possible way.
Yes.
And the church needs to stand against this. And parents need instruction as to what to say. If your child comes and says he is trans, I deal with that even in the book. How do you handle that? You handle it Christianly, but you also handle it with truth. And these are the things that we have to learn that we've not had to learn before.
These are very practical things found in the book, The Eclipse of God. You can pre-order a copy of Dr. Lutzer's book on Amazon.com or on ChristianBook.com. You can go to either of those sites. The book will be out in September. It is an excellent read and a very important read with very practical steps, as Dr. Lutzer was just talking about. Title, again, again, The Eclipse of God, subtitled Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity and What We Must Do About It, very practical steps that we can take there. So I would encourage you again to go to christianbook.com or amazon.com and pre-order The Eclipse of God by Dr. Erwin Lutzer. We'll be right back on Encouragement Live. At the 2024 Legacy Leaders Summit, you'll hear from Christian leaders as Dallas Theological Seminary celebrates a century of teaching truth and loving well. The Legacy Leaders Summit this September 12th and 13th features messages from Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutzer, plus panel discussions, worship, and more. You may register at dts.edu/legacyleader. That's dts.edu/legacyleader. Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarborough on the story of Scripture.
It's a two-day seminar that walks individuals from Genesis to Revelation and tells the grand story of God and what He is doing.
Don't miss your opportunity to find your place in the greatest story ever told.
And we find out by the time we get to the Gospels, it's all about Jesus.
To learn more or sign up, visit thestoryofscripture.org, thestoryofscripture.org.
Here's a conversation from hisfaithfulstewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to hisfaithfulstewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's hisfaithfulstewards.com.
Back with Dr. Erwin Lutzer tonight. His book, again, is titled The Eclipse of God. It's available for pre-order at Amazon.com or at ChristianBook.com. And Erwin, we've talked about this as a spiritual issue, but it's also a very personal issue. It really comes down to personal responsibility. And I know that 2 Chronicles 7:14 was written to Israel, but it seems to me that there's an application for people today who are called by God's name to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn away from any wickedness in our lives.
You know, Don, many people who pray for revival, God bless them, because I'm among them.
Yes.
But some people have no idea what they are praying for. They would like to see, you know, other people saved. They'd like to see God come along and judge the unbelievers. What they don't realize, and this is actually based on the verse that you quoted, is that when God really comes, He comes to His own people first.
Mm.
And what God does is He tears them apart piece by piece, shows them their sin, they deeply repent, and then they move on from there. And once in my life, over a period of time, I saw this happen when there was a revival in Western Canada. And by no means was it pleasant. I mean, what you had is people having to restore things. Here's an example of a man who was a builder. He built with inferior materials, so he really cheated his customer, but he was a Christian. Now God is convicting him. He has to go to all the people for whom he built homes, confess what he did, put his own house up for mortgage, and as best as he can to pay them back. Revival can be very, very costly, so we pray for a revival out there, so to speak, and we have to remember that God begins with His own people. Isn't it in Peter where he says that judgment begins at the house of God?
Yes.
And so if we're going to pray and take it seriously with blood earnestness, just let's remember what we're praying for. We're praying for something that could be very difficult and deeply convicting.
What a timely reminder for us as we talk about the eclipse of God and the disastrous search in our society for a more inclusive deity, and how this entire movement of radical secularism obscuring the light of God has invaded even the church today, where the church has not been willing to take a stand against sin. In fact, sin has become a very unpopular topic. But Irwin, something that you point out near the end of the book, and I've witnessed two total eclipses in the last few years. One of them you mentioned back last spring here in Texas. The other one, we drove all the way to Nebraska to be able to see the total eclipse, and they were dark, but they didn't last. Is there hope for this eclipse not to last the way those physical eclipses of the moon over the sun didn't last?
Well, I don't think that we can presumptuously say that the darkness is going to dissipate anytime soon. Look at the darkness in China.
Yeah.
That has gone on for generations. Look at the darkness in Russia. Look at the darkness in North Korea that does not have any ending in sight. So the darkness in America might not end. Now, if it doesn't end, if it keeps going in the direction that it's going, I believe very much that there's going to be increasing judgments.
Yes.
And we certainly see that around today. I think that our anger, our tearing one another apart, all of the wrangling that is going on, all of the uptick in crime, which is being tolerated by our so-called progressives, all of this becomes a part of what God is doing and judging us and showing us our sin. So the challenge tonight to the people listening is a personal challenge. There isn't much that we can do about the darkness that is around us and changing the culture.
Yes.
Some little bits here and there, yes. But the question again comes down to this: what does faithfulness look like to me? And what you have to do is invite your neighbors over for lunch. And share with them the gospel. Begin small. Protect your family. As a matter of fact, you know, there are parents today going through great heartache over what their children are being taught in the public school.
Yes.
And the evil influences that some of our public schools have. So they need to deal with these issues, and they need to ask themselves very seriously, if we're going to be completely obedient, what does this mean? There are employers, Christian employees, I should say, who are being forced to use preferred pronouns. In effect, they are saying, you are pretending that you are a woman when I know that you're a man, and I am supposed to pretend along with you. So these are issues, and that's not to say, I recognize that there are some who deal with this dysphoria. I recognize that. But we're living in an era in which to really live for Christ really is creating a lot of resistance. And so the question is, will we be faithful? The other thing, if I might say this about the book that we're talking about, The Eclipse of God.
Yes.
In a sense, it's also a book on apologetics.
Yes.
For example, that chapter, Nearer My God to Me, where I talk about contemporary spirituality, I have to leave people with this verse or give it to them now. When it comes to, oh, I'm into spirituality, but I don't believe in any specific doctrines.
Wow.
There's a verse in Isaiah that I quote that is just incredible. It's talking about false teachers, and it says this, you know, they make promises they can't keep. But then it says this, it's like a man who is hungry. He falls asleep, and in his sleep, he dreams that he is eating, but he wakes up and he is hungry still. He's thirsty. And in his dream, he dreams he's drinking, but he wakes up thirsty. So you have all of these wells of secularism that are totally dry, make promises that they cannot keep. And what we have to do is to show people a better way. And that, of course, has to do with Christ.
Yes.
And the gospel. and we need to live faithfully.
And I want to make sure that we get the gospel into the program tonight, because I think it's so critical that it starts there. We may have someone or maybe several someones listening to this broadcast, and you have not experienced a relationship with Jesus Christ. Irwin, if you will, walk us through how that individual can come to a personal faith in Jesus Christ.
The first thing I'd say to that individual is, if you've been listening to this program, it almost certainly is by divine appointment.
Yes.
God has a way of preparing a heart for a prepared message. So welcome to having listened to us. But the most important thing does not have to do with us. It has to do with the Christ to whom we point. When Jesus died on the cross, his death was a sacrifice for sinners. And what he provided... The way is very narrow. This has to do with truth. The way to heaven is very narrow, but it is open to everyone. So no matter who you are, no matter what sins you've committed, that is not the issue. The issue is the wonder of the forgiveness and the righteousness that Jesus gives to those who finally admit their sinfulness, their inability to deal with their sin, and turn to Christ in repentance and faith. Mm. And when that happens, that, of course, becomes the time when Jesus Christ accepts us, and we are accepted by him, and we become his child.
Yes.
So wherever you are, pray right now. Call out to God. Tell him you want to be saved. And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and that Jesus is Lord and that you're a sinner in need, he will hear you and he will respond.
No question about that. And tonight, friend, our desire is that if you have not yet trusted Christ, or if you have a question about whether you have, recognize and admit that you are a sinner and cannot save yourself. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. But Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And tonight, as Irwin just said, if you have not yet placed your trust in Jesus Christ, you can express it in a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I believe you died for me and rose again. And right now, by faith, I'm placing my trust in you. And friend, if you have expressed that prayer to the Lord, we'd love to hear about it. You can reach out to us through encouragementlive.org. And I want to encourage everybody to consider getting a copy of this book, The Eclipse of God. It will deepen your love for the sovereign God of the Bible, and it will empower you to live and speak as a light for him in this culture of darkness. You can pre-order a copy at christianbook.com or at amazon.com. Pre-orders are being accepted. The book will be out in September. And I want to encourage you to pray for the ministry of Dr. Irwin Lutzer. It's a very hectic traveling schedule. And Irwin, it's always a joy to have you on the program. Thank you so much for taking the time tonight out of your busy schedule to enlighten us about the eclipse of God.
Thanks, Don. It's been my privilege.
And again, friend, the book is titled The Eclipse of God, and the subtitle, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity and What We Can Do About It. And there are things that we can do about it, as we've mentioned. Again, Dr. Lutzer is speaking, one of the three speakers at the Dallas Theological Seminary's upcoming event, Legacy Leaders Summit. And the website to learn more about that is at dts.edu/legacyleader. That event's coming up September the 12th and 13th. I know some of you who called in tonight, you love and appreciate Dr. Lutzer's ministry. And even if you're in a distant state, I would encourage you to come out and hear Dr. Lutzer at that event at Dallas Seminary. Again, it's a part of their 100th anniversary celebration. dts.edu/legacyleader. For all of us who've been a part of Encouragement Live, for Brent Hawkins and Chris Varela, Cora Varela, and Keith Mayo, thank you so much for joining us, and we appreciate having you with us on Encouragement Live.